the state's concerned about the liability of the bears and who's liable. I think they think they are.
A community meeting could begin to solve safety issues in the Chilkoot Corridor, and good sablefish projections could help soothe the sting of halibut fishery restrictions. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and much more coming up. Alaska's statewide election has been certified, all but the U.S. Senate race, that is. Division of Elections Director Gail Fenimiai says the State Review Board finished its work earlier this week. That means winners in all races, except the Senate, are officially declared. Fenimiai says the board found nothing unusual in its review.
They review precinct registers and compare number of signatures in a register to cards cast in a precinct. They look at the materials for absentee in question that are certified by the district absentee in question boards. And then they also are responsible for looking at the last count of special advance ballots that is done on the 15th day. And they just make sure, you know, all the numbers are what they are and there's nothing askew. And when they have gone through all 438 precincts, then they say that they have done the review and the numbers are as they present them to me.
It's anybody's guess as to how long it'll be before the U.S. Senate race is resolved. Republican candidate Joe Miller has sued the state, challenging its counting of write-in ballots for incumbent Senator Lisa Murkowski. A status hearing was held this week in Juneau Superior Court. Even after the Superior Court rules, the case could be appealed to the state Supreme Court. After all possible court challenges are decided, the Senate election must then be certified. And once it is, Miller has threatened to ask for a recount. An investigation continues into a formal complaint against District 5 State Representative Bill Thomas and several of his re-election campaign members regarding campaign disclosure law and a series of newspaper ads. Alaska Public Offices Commission, or APOC, on Thursday rejected a staff recommendation to dismiss several complaints against Thomas and ordered further investigation. APOC began reviewing the legality of a series of thank you ads that ran in the Haines newspaper leading up to the state primary election after blogger Linda Kellen Beagle filed a complaint alleging that the campaign members that arranged the ads did not file the required campaign disclosure reports. The ads in question ran on a weekly basis and contained photos and ended with the name and address of one of several Haines businesses indicating who paid for the ad. They also showed either a photo or the name of Representative Thomas. The weekly newspaper for Haines, the Chilkat Valley News, said the local businesses were billed for the ads, but that Haines resident James Studley, also listed as deputy director of the campaign to re-elect Thomas, coordinated the buy by providing copy, photos, and design for the spots. APOC law states that independent expenditures cannot be made in cooperation with an agent of the candidate. APOC staff investigated the accusations and issued a report early last month recommending the complainant's allegations be dismissed, with the exception that two of the ads that expressly included the word vote should be considered campaign expenditures and contributions that should have been reported to APOC. A November hearing saw presentations from the complainant who protested the recommendation, but no member of the Thomas Party was present. However, Studley maintains he believes he did nothing wrong and that word from APOC led him to believe the ads did not require disclosure. Following the hearing, the commission reviewed evidence and chose not to dismiss the bulk of the complaint's allegations at this time. The determination is not final, and the commission requested further investigation into several details of how the ads ran and whether they should be considered communications regulated by APOC. Respondents will have another opportunity to present information, and the staff will have an updated report at a later date. It looks like longliners will get to catch more sablefish in 2011. Scientists' projections are expected to lead an overall 5% increase in the quota for the deepwater species, also called black cod. And Southeast fishermen could see their allocations jump 14%. It's good news for a gear group that includes many halibut fishermen in Southeast, where that fisheries limit may be cut almost in half. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports from Sitka.
About 835 people have permits to harvest Alaska sablefish, commonly called black cod. Around half of them are in Southeast, and for the past few years, harvest numbers have been down. But next season, they get to pull in more of the valuable species, which are prized in Asia and getting more attention in the lower 48. The projected total coastwide allocation is up 5%. NOAA Fisheries' Dana Hanselman works on sablefish projections at Juneau's Auk Bay Lab.
This was primarily due to we had a pretty good year on the longline survey. Catches were up about 14%, and this resulted in higher apportionments toward the eastern Gulf.
The recommended limits are up by 14% in southeast, 24% in the west Yakutat area, 5% in the central Gulf, and 2% in the Bering Sea. The western Gulf would drop 2% and the Aleutians 8%. The numbers are preliminary and will be finalized at a North Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting this month. If they're approved, it will be good news for longliners, who just learned next year's overall halibut quota could drop 19%, with a 47% reduction in southeast.
It's a little bit of a silver lining.
Julianne Curry heads up the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association.
As I understand it, it's really not expected to last all that long. They're still missing a few recruitment years, and if those don't start showing up in any kind of significant number, then the sablefish quota is expected to go down again in the future, but it's better than a poke in the eye.
The recommendation would allow a 16,000-ton harvest in Alaska waters. That's roughly 35 million pounds. About 25 million pounds would be taken in the Gulf of Alaska and about 6.5 million in southeast. By contrast, the entire Alaska and Pacific Northwest halibut allocation for next year is 41 million pounds. Sablefish is a growing fishery with rising prices.
It's a pretty significant revenue source. You know, sablefish has been climbing in value steadily since IFQs were implemented, and it's a pretty important product to a lot of fishermen off the coast of Alaska.
An increase in sablefish will not boost everyone affected by the halibut reduction. Sitka's Linda Benkin heads up the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association.
I would say that most people who fish sablefish also fish halibut. It isn't necessarily true the other way. There's a lot of people who have halibut quota, fish for salmon, but don't necessarily have any sablefish.
Allowable harvest numbers for sablefish have dropped significantly since a peak of almost 40,000 tons in 1988. They've gone up and down this decade, and after 2011's increase, they're projected to drop by 8% in 2012. The Auk Bay Lab's Dana Hanselman says there's a lot to be learned about the species.
Each year's quota really depends on the surveys we get in that year, and next year we do have two surveys that we're going to be taking a look at, plus the fishery catch rate index. And so how those come out is really the biggest predictor of each year's quota.
Numbers for 2011 will be finalized during the North Pacific Fishery Management Council's meeting. That's December 8th to December 14th in Anchorage. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Sitka.
The Chilkoot Corridor in the Haynesboro is a well-loved part of town by tourists and locals alike. It's an epicenter of bear viewing, sport fishing, fisheries research, and recreation. But it's also a problem area for some visitors and the groups that govern over it. A public meeting Friday in Haynes attempts to address some of the land and management issues that are the dark cloud hanging over the Chilkoot Corridor.
It's not if, it's when the bears are going to have an encounter with the people.
Representative Bill Thomas is working with state parks to moderate Friday's discussion. He spoke with Deborah Schnabel about the issue on Thursday's Talk Around Town show on KHNS. But parks and the legislature aren't the only ones with interests in the area.
Yes, parks, DOT, fishing game. So what we want to do is come to the meeting and look at, do we want to realign it or do we want to go around the lakes road right now, put it to bed and go up around the back and then get away from the graveyards, grave sites, get away from the river completely and go up in the back.
Parks Director James King and local parks representative Preston Cruz will also attend. Chilkoot Indian Association forestry and fish and game representatives may also be present. Thomas, also the new co-chair of the State Finance Committee, is facilitating.
Because it maybe requires some legislation or funding.
Okay.
And I figure if I'm going to be there, I might as well see how much funding is going to be needed to put the road to bed and build a new road road system in the back. May require some bear viewing platforms. The state's concerned about the liability of the bears and who's liable. I think they are. be in the state, and they don't want that liability.
The first of a couple of related meetings is Friday, December 3rd at 6 p.m. in Haines Assembly Chambers.
What we've done now is we're going to have two meetings. One is the corridor and one is whether or not they want to do a Chilkoot recreational use area. And that's the one that expands the boundaries and whole different other things. They're kind of going to work on the corridor system. It's this whole separate issue.
Thomas says he hopes the discussion results in recommendations to the legislature that'll lead to funding for projects in the Chilkoot corridor.
Well, hopefully to the legislature, because it'll be reclassifying state lands, the Bald Eagle Center's in it eventually.
Okay.
But the first phase is just along the corridor, the road system.
Okay.
And mind you, Norm Blank called me from the Bear Watchers, system, and people who are involved in the corridor system. So, and I talked to him for quite a while, and hopefully he'll be there. And we're trying to get forward, trying to meet some of their goals that they've established. And best way to do it, if we have to do it legislatively, then we can. But if the people agree on it, we can go forward and redesign the road, get them away from the potential.
The Chilkoot Corridor Community Meeting is Friday evening, 6 p.m. at Haines Assembly Chambers. I'm Tara Bicknell for KHNS. Thanks for getting your news on KHNS. We're glad you're listening.